Hello, I'm Keith Powell, and welcome to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. After more than half a century, the military rule of Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, is transitioning to a democratic and free society. This is also being reflected on the amount of newspapers that have emerged since Burma, or Myanmar, has gone towards democracy. All media, in fact, is changing. There are a number of bloggers now that are reporting on stories that previously were not told by the state broadcaster. Just recently, as you are aware, Burma, not long ago, had their first democratic election, and the party led by Aung San Suu Kyi was the big winner. The military, however, do continue to hold some seats in parliament. But is this old system going to fade out completely, or are there still threats of censorship in the future? Well, no one really knows. But it is at the moment the place to be if you're planning to start a new media outlet. We have this special report from Andrew Dobb, who reports on the media landscape in the Southeast Asian nation just leading up to the election.
On the streets of Yangon, drink sellers are competing for customers by beating ladles against large metal bowls. They stop to fill little plastic bags with sweet, syrupy drinks, which people sip with a straw. They don't make as much noise, but on the same street, newspaper sellers sit behind racks of weekly and daily papers. In Myanmar, people still read newspapers, and since the election of President Thein Sein in 2011, the media has enjoyed much greater freedom. The old censorship regime has been dismantled, and the press can criticise the government more freely. But at the same time, journalists are being imprisoned at alarming rates, and many of the promised media reforms are taking much longer than expected. Senior journalist U T.R. Saw says Myanmar is making dramatic improvements, but according to at least one international measure, it still has a long way to go.
Reporters on Frontier, based in Paris, they come up with an annual freedom of press index. So we were third worst country in the world before 2012. And last year in 2014, we went up to 144 out of 170, 180 countries. So the situation is actually improving. 145 mean we do have 144 countries ahead of us. We still have a long way to go. But in the ASEAN community, this South Asian families like Thai, Malaysia, Singapore, Vietnam, etc., we were somewhere near the top. Like, we were the fourth freest country in terms of media freedom. Thailand, Indonesia, and Cambodia are ahead of us, and the rest of the nation, our other six, seven countries, are behind us.
One of the reasons why the media is improving is that several exiled media companies have opted to return to Myanmar. This is one of them. It's called Mizima Media. Up until 2012, Mizima had been reporting on Burmese affairs from India. The government invited the company to return when the media laws were relaxed. Mizima is now based in Yangon and produces online and print publications, as well as programs for state television. It's not yet allowed to produce TV news programs, but hopes to when the broadcast laws are reformed. As Mizima's editor, Soy Min, explains, there's now a mixture of new startups and old state-run media competing for attention.
Yeah, we have three state-owned newspapers and a couple of private daily newspapers and weeklies. There are about 10 daily newspapers and more than 200 or 300 private-owned weeklies in the country.
The state-run papers are remnants of the old media structure. But the government wants to reform them by bringing in corporations as joint venture partners, while keeping majority control, and by turning them into public service media companies. It's a novel idea for a government to own newspapers that operate in the same way that a public broadcaster might. Soy Min of Mizima says the idea is having limited success.
These three state-owned newspapers, two are in Myanmar language and one is in English language, they have been in the country for decades. they were like propaganda outlets of the government under the military regime. And they basically print and publish what the ministers and what the government officials are doing. For example, inaugurating the opening of the bridge or the building and inspecting the site of the construction, such and such. Plus, quite a lot of advertisements. There is no news as such in these newspapers. When the new government came to power after 2010 elections, the government wants to transform these state-owned newspapers to the so-called public service newspapers, where the editorial independence is there. There is no interference from the business and from the politics, and the newspapers are for the public interest. So that is the government stated plan and objective. So we will have to wait and see how the plan is implemented and how the things come true.
On the ground floor of the Myanmar Times, the staff in the print room are preparing the presses. The plates are loaded and the newsprint is tightened and adjusted before the presses start to roll. As well as the state-run papers, there are plenty of privately owned newspapers. The Myanmar Times was launched in the year 2000 by Australian Ross Dunkley and his Burmese business partner, Sonny Shui. It's had several changes in ownership since, but has survived and is now the only private, daily, English-language newspaper in the country. And until very recently, the Myanmar Times was subject to heavy censorship. Mur Lewin, the paper's editor of special publications, had the job of dealing with the censors at the government's Press Scrutiny and Regulation Division.
At that time, it was a weekly cycle. So we are sending all the pages to the Press Scrutiny Department on Friday. And by Saturday, sometimes 7 o'clock, sometimes 9 o'clock, then we receive the censorship. These stories cannot be run. This story is axed. This picture not suitable to run, so we need to change, and then we need to send back to them again in a hurry. For instance, when we run a picture of Senior General Tan Sri and the Sri Lankan president, we run a picture of the headshot of both gentlemen, then they complain it is not a good omen to run part of the body of the gentleman. So we changed to another picture, that whole body of both gentlemen on the tarmac at the airport. But their eyes are looking to the left side as if something ran across them all of a sudden. So it is all right that the whole body of the two gentlemen, but their eyes are looking to the left side, so attention is distracted, something like this. So for the third time, we have to arrange the pages and then send back with another picture, the whole body of the two gentlemen sitting on a couch. But what happened is the worst, according to them. They have a painting between them that have the symbol of the peacock. At that time, the opposition party, peacock fighting, is we cannot run. So I said, we have three pictures. We have no other choice. What should we do? And then what I advocated them is that we should not interpret the headshot of the people as a bad omen. Because since we started education, we have to use the passport size headshot pictures. When we apply for a visa, when we apply for a job, then we have to use all the passport size pictures, and we should not be that superstitious, or we should not be interpreted in that way. And then they think about this a few minutes, and then they allowed it.
The censorship ended in August 2012. The Press Scrutiny Board still exists, but its role now is to administer newspaper licenses. So the press is still not entirely free. But for new generations of reporters, the media has a lot more autonomy.
I'm Su Pyo Win. I'm a business reporter from Myanmar Times.
Su Pyo Win joined the Myanmar Times in April 2013. So as a reporter, she's never worked under the censorship regime. But she has different challenges. As a business reporter, she has to deal with Burma's famous cronies, the business people who are close to the military and go to great lengths to avoid scrutiny. She also has to write in both English and Burmese for a paper that, like many others, has recently been given permission to switch from a weekly to a daily.
Monday and Tuesday is the most busiest day, I think, because we have to write both English and Myanmar language paper. So for this day, like, it's Wednesday, so we only have to write for daily paper, and then in our Myanmar version paper deadline, it's on Monday and Tuesdays. So the reporters have to write in both papers, so that would be the most busiest day of the week.
Today you've just written in English.
Right, sure.
So you've only just switched from being a weekly paper to a daily paper.
Yes, that's true.
How have you all found the transition?
Actually, it's quite excited for us and actually frustrated at the same time, because we've been hoping to be in daily paper for many years, and now we can publish daily paper now. But it's quite hard for me to turn from weekly to daily.
Do you find there are difficulties as a reporter in Myanmar, or is it easy?
It's said to be a little bit difficult in Myanmar, especially when we're trying to get contact with the ministries and some military gender and the big cronies who are in the relationship with the military. When the political people talk to their sources, some of the parties and the people from political parties really want to talk to the reporters what they are doing. But for us, when we contact to get the quote from the big business people and the especially cronies or something, it's sometimes hard to get the quotes from them, because they are really, really rich and their business are already in success, so they don't have to tell me what they are doing. So sometimes it's hard for me.
So is it good being a journalist in Myanmar?
For my sake, it's not very good. Being a journalist, it can be rich. Especially in Myanmar, the salary is quite low. But for knowledge and dignity, it's very good, I think.
Burmese journalist Su Pyo Win from the Myanmar Times. You're listening to the Media Report on Radio National. I'm Andrew Dodd, and today we're reporting on the media in Myanmar. Although the media has undergone many reforms, there are also plenty of setbacks. In mid-March, in a town north of Yangon, reporters were beaten and imprisoned after a violent struggle between student protesters and the police. The Latpadan riots have highlighted the media's lack of protection. They've also led to some media outlets refusing to cover government affairs. Tong Sunay is the managing director of the media company Information Matrix. He says the media got caught up in the demonstrations.
Latpadan is a small city outside of Yangon region. It's about an hour drive from here. This is the place where authorities decided to put up a blockade to stop the student march from entering Yangon. When all hell broke loose, all the journalists tried to run for cover, and some ran back into a monastery, and some ran into houses. There were residents that were very brave. They took the students as well as journalists into their homes and hit them. All the police just started bringing out their sticks and decided to beat the students, and they just started rounding up everyone. I think the final figure was 169 together, including students and citizens from around the area that were coming there to support the students. There were also a couple of journalists that were wrongly apprehended during the clampdown.
Pu An Min is a writer with the Reporter News Journal. He was reporting from the middle of the melee at Lap Badan and beaten by the police before being thrown in prison.
At that time, there were some aggressive police who liked to beat us, and we were lucky that we were the journalists. But after a while, we were taken into a car. We were beaten like 5 or 10 times inside the car. I feel that they are abusers towards the journalists in Myanmar because they really knew that we are the journalists and they didn't release us immediately. At the same time, I heard from others saying that they also beat the journalists. I really wondered that if they really know that we are the journalists, then why did they still keep on beating on us? And that's the reason why I think they are some abusers towards the journalists in Myanmar.
Pu An Min was released from prison after 3 days. At last count, there were 12 journalists in prison in Myanmar. 5 reporters for the Unity Journal were convicted last year under the Official Secrets Act and sentenced to 7 years jail for reporting a story about an alleged chemical weapons factory. 5 more reporters from the Bai Midday Sun are serving a 2-year prison term for breaching the Emergency Provisions Act. The other 2 from the Myanmar Post are in prison for defaming a number of military-appointed MPs. These 12 journalists are an embarrassment for Myanmar's Information Minister, U Yi Tut. He wants the world to know that Myanmar is improving, but people keep asking about all the reporters in prison. He says it's a symptom of a system that still needs more reform.
I think most of the problem is coming from the 2 sides. The one is we didn't have any credible complaint mechanism by the press council. So most of the people are decided to go into the court. And the second is a lack of awareness from the young journalists about the law. Because, you know, if you know about that, you can sometimes find the loophole to report without to cross the line. So this is the problem.
Would you agree that the laws at the moment are too draconian? They are too strict? Do the laws need to change?
There's some of the law, like the Official Secret Act, is a draft in the 1923. So it's a little outdated. So we need to amend or this thing and accord with the current international norm and also the current technological change. But this is not the responsible for the Ministry of Information. This law is under the jurisdiction of Ministry of Home Affairs.
For you as Minister for Information, you should really be arguing much more strongly for changes to these laws. For example, criminal defamation has been outlawed in almost all countries on earth, and yet Myanmar still has criminal defamation.
I think the defamation law is not the problem. The problem is how the people try to use them. But I would like to point out, since our government coming in, there's only 2 defamation cases by the government to the private media. The one is settled outside of the court. Now the one is still processed in the court. But I point out, even in the now ongoing case, the Ministry of Information used the press council to settle the dispute, but the private journal refused to appear in front of the press council. So as a last resort, we have to use the defamation law to defend our integrity. But only the 11 media group, the biggest media group in our country, are over 24 cases against other journalists, because some of them are very critical to their editorial policy. So who is using the defamation law to prevent the freedom of expression? I don't think it's not government. It's another big media group. That's the problem.
Will you change this law of criminal defamation? Will you put it back in the civil domain where it belongs?
As far as I know, most of the people, even the general public, refer as a criminal code, because in our situation at our country, so the civil law takes a lot of time to remedy the mistake or made by the journalists. So now most of the people, even the member of parliament, refer to keep up to the near future as a criminal code. But to prevent the defamation case, we have to establish the credible complaints mechanism by the press council. And also the journalists have to respect the press council because some of them are refused to appear in front of them. So this is a main problem. I think defamation law is not the problem.
At the enormous Shwedagon Pagoda in Yangon, tourists ring the bells as a purification ritual. Myanmar is a devoutly Buddhist country, as New Zealander Philip Blackwood and two of his Burmese colleagues discovered in mid-March when they were charged with insulting religion. Their crime was to post an image on Facebook of a psychedelic Buddha wearing headphones as part of a promotion for a nightclub. They were convicted and sentenced to 2.5 years in prison, including 2 years doing hard labour. It's a sentence the Minister for Information defends.
I think this law is not only to defend Buddhism. If you make the same thing to the Islam or Christian or Hindu, the people will face the same sentences under this law. So this is not the only law to defend the Buddhist. So I didn't see any problem. Because in our country is a multi-religious and multi-racial community, so we need this kind of law to prevent the racial hatred or religious hatred.
But it sends a very strong message about the lack of freedom of expression when you're put in prison for something like that.
You know, I think the people have the in the one side they have to have the freedom of expression, but in other side they have to respect the other people's belief or their faith. So because even the International Human Rights Article 29 said when the people are using their freedom, they have to respect the other people or other community integrity and respect the privacy and other rights. So I think we have to keep the law.
Myanmar has a huge backlog of outdated laws that need to be replaced or rewritten. The country's criminal defamation laws are a good example. Senior journalist U T.R. Saw is a member of Myanmar's Interim Press Council.
When the Press Council was drafting the news media law, it got to deal with some commissions and committees in the parliament. So one commission is called Special and Legal Affairs Commission. So the guys who had in the commission told us our job is to look for the laws that need to be changed. There are about over 700 laws that need to be changed, amended, rewrite, etc. And they were able to handle about 100 in the last 4 years. So there's a long way to go. But what the press council did was pretty much pragmatic. Like, take a look at the defamation clause in the penal code. Because it's in the criminal code, the people who got sued may get imprisonment, like 2 months or 2 years, 3 years, whatever. But we copied that criminal code from India, which inherited from the British. But even in UK and in India, they've changed the defamation clause or take out the defamation clause from the criminal code into the civil code, which means there will all be financial punishment. You pay some money, 10,000 jars or 100,000 or whatever, no imprisonment. So we told the parliament committee, why don't you change it? They said, we will, but not now.
So just in summary, the press now, the media in Myanmar, is vastly different to what it was just 5 years ago, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, actually, it has changed a lot in the last 3 years, starting with the mid-2012, when they took away this censorship office. It's called press scrutiny. So there have been some visible, tangible improvement, but then there have been some visible threats, too. Like, before 2012, the censorship office is something like for a barrier for the journalists. But it was sort of like a shield for most of the working journalists. They don't get sued because the story that might lead to a legal case were killed and in that office. But now the journalists are much more exposed. Much more freedom, but they're much more exposed. So we do see dozens of cases against journalists, legal cases, in the last 2 years.
Despite all the restrictions on free speech, Newspapers actually have more freedom than Myanmar's electronic media. When you sample the airwaves in Yangon, they sound busy. But television and radio stations are still tightly regulated by the state. And although there are a few television channels, they're all in the hands of two major companies, and independent news and current affairs is hard to come by. But all this might be changing soon when the parliament passes legislation to deregulate the airwaves. U Tia Saw again.
The print media in Myanmar is much more freer than the broadcast media. There's so much control, and the law is still being written, and the parliament hasn't approved the broadcast law yet. So with the new broadcast law, they may become more independent, they may become more freer version of the news contents. We don't know. And then we have now over a dozen so-called FM stations all over the country. Some are based in Yangon, Mandalay, some are in ethnic areas like Rakhine, Shan State, etc. And with the new law coming into being, there may be dozens, maybe hundreds of FM stations coming up.
That special report looking at the media landscape in Myanmar was produced and presented by Andrew Dobb. We now turn our attention to propagation and what's been happening and what we can expect. Here's Glenn Hauser.
Keith from IPS in Australia, the global HF propagation forecast. Normal February 19th and 20th at low and middle latitudes. Fair to normal at high latitudes. Space Weather South Africa says by the 19th, solar activity was expected to decrease to low levels. Unsettled to active conditions with further minor storm intervals possible. Geomagnetic activity should decline on the 19th as high-speed stream effects wane. Met Office UK says by February 20th, geomagnetic activity should decrease to quiet to unsettled as solar wind speeds return to background levels. From FK Yanda, OK1HH of the Czech Propagation Interest Group, the geomagnetic field will be quiet to unsettled on February 19th, 20th, 27th, March 2nd and 8th. Quiet on February 21st, 22nd, 25th, 26th, 28th, 29th, March 4th and 5th. Mostly quiet February 23rd and 24th. Quiet to active March 1st, 3rd and 7th. Active to disturbed on March 6th. From SWPC in Boulder, quiet to unsettled conditions expected with isolated active periods possible February 18th to 20th. Mostly quiet February 21st to 29th. Quiet to unsettled March 1st to 3rd. Then mostly quiet with unsettled to active periods possible March 6th, 7th, and 11th. ANK indices only 5 and 2 from February 21st to 29th. Peaking at 15 and 4 on March 1st and 6th. Solar flux rising gradually from 103 February 18th to a peak of 120 March 1st to 3rd. William Hepburn's VHF, UHF microwave DX maps show extreme tropospheric ducting off Baja California and the Pacific coast of Mexico through February 21st, also parts of the Red Sea through February 20th, between Mozambique and Madagascar, February 20th to 22nd, and all week around the Bay of Bengal and northwestern Australia.
Thanks, Glenn. And with that, we've come to the end of the show. If you want to contact us, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. 73 and 88 to the ladies.